Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 25. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, guys?
Are you going to call us gentlemen or not?
I will not.
Not gentlemen tonight?
I refuse.
Gentleman.
I liked how that intro sounded.
Yeah, a little better.
That was good.
Sounded good.
The listeners don't need to know.
No. What they don't know don't hurt them.
That's right. They don't hurt them. Heck right.
Doesn't hurt us either.
Please, Amber, don't hurt them, right?
Oh, good reference.
You like that?
Yeah. You have your hammer pants on?
Oh, man. Hey, we are middle-aged and something.
I'm not going to touch this.
25. Think about this. We're at middle-aged mini. These are the minis at 25, and the actual episodes are creeping up to 50. We are really trucking along.
What's your point? I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Somebody do this.
You doing that?
I am doing it.
No, I stopped. I was coming home from work. I stopped. I got off of 70, and I was sitting there. My light turns green, and I always watch traffic anyhow. And semi-truck's right there. He's not stopping.
Yeah.
Well, before he gets in the intersection, he grabs it and looks at me. Just goes through the intersection, red
He's
light.
Like, see you later.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go anyhow.
You snooze, you lose, right?
Adios.
What do you think you are, fire truck?
Yeah, no kidding. Get your lights on. So, mini number 25.
We're diving right in, right?
We are going to dive in to this. So what have we got?
It's shallow. Don't dive head first.
Well, too late. Already did.
Ankles first.
Too many times. That is what happens when you dive in head first, right?
That's right.
This. We're over here. The topic discussion is Milgram Psychological Experiment, and this one is brought to you by Todd.
I think I need Todd's some of this.
I think we do.
We want you to pay attention.
I don't even know what it is, but I need it.
Pay attention. Well,
it's already resonating with Nate.
We did. We signed you up for this later, actually.
Yeah. So yes.
Here we go.
Yeah, next Wednesday is your first appointment.
Right on.
Just tell them that you're affiliated with Middle-Aged and Creeped Out, and you'll get a discount.
Right on. Tell them if they have any earlier appointments available. I'm game.
Mine's Thursday.
I'm going to set the basis for this, but this makes me think of, this makes me think of, and I even wrote it down, Peter Gabriel's Shock the Monkey, 1982. I put it out there.
Shock the Monkey.
Shock the Monkey. So go listen to it if you've never listened to Shock. Who hasn't heard Shock the Monkey, right?
Great video.
So now that makes us want to talk about the Milgram experiment.
Okay.
So the Milgram experiment or experiments on obedience to authority figures was a series of psychological experiments conducted by Yale University psychologist Stanley Milgram. They measured the willingness of study participants, men 20 to 50 years old, from a diverse range of occupations with varying levels of education, to obey, and that's in blue, by the way, that's highlighted, an authority figure who instructed them to perform acts conflicting with their personal conscience. Participants were led to believe that they were assisting an unrelated experiment in which they had to administer electric shocks to a quote-unquote learner. These fake electric shocks gradually increased to levels that would have been fatal had they been real.
I thought you said this wasn't like the Ghostbusters scene.
It
sounds like it.
It's similar. Kind of.
Yours is, Nate, next Wednesday.
I didn't want to give anything away.
Yes.
The sad thing is the experiment found, unexpectedly, they did not expect, they thought it would be a small percentage of people that would go all the way, unexpectedly that a very high proportion of subjects would fully obey the instructions, albeit reluctantly. Milgram first described his research in a 1963 article in the Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology, and later discussed his findings in greater depth in the 1974 book, Obedience to Authority, an Experimental View.
Mm. From what I understood is that the learners thought they were the experiment.
Uh-huh.
And then what actual the experiment was the people that were supposed to obey or giving the supposed electric shocks. So
yes,
it was all about them, not the...
Because the people getting the shocks were actually actors.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right. And they were supposed to react.
They were in on it.
Yeah, and they were reacting to, you know, doing the
acting like they're getting shocked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And just trying to see, obeying authority or not, and trying to see how much they would push it. being told, hey, crank it up a little bit and see, you know, knowing, and they think it's real. That's, and there's like a father and son and mm-hmm. like friends were, mm-hmm. oh man. And so just to see kind of, not diabolical, what's the word, what is the word for somebody that's like underlying kind of.
Yeah, it's a dark instinct, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, like you have, yeah, you don't think you, and then once, but once you have something at your hands to inflict
pain. Control,
or,
right? Yeah, mm-hmm, the like, power.
Mm-hmm. Little underlying evil. It says I didn't go that far, but
the actors pretended to be in severe pain, begging, crying, passing out, or even pretending to be like dead.
Yeah.
They said that many of those participants were not even told for months later that it was staged. So they had psychological effects.
Right.
It's like, yeah, they're good.
I think this is a fascinating.
They were paid. The participants were paid to do this.
So here's an actual flyer post. Probably see it, guys. It says a public announcement: we will pay you $4 for 1 hour of your time.
$4?
Yeah, persons needed for a study of memory. $4, but in 1963, maybe that's a lot of money. I don't know. Let's see here.
It probably was, honestly.
Okay, so So it says Milgram experiment advertisement in 1961. The U.S. $4 advertised is equivalent to $35 in 2020. So $35 mm-hmm. bucks an hour. Hey.
There you go. Yeah. That's something.
So $4. Yeah. And obviously, you know, it took a number of hours to do.
I like how it links back to like trying to figure out the Holocaust and how you got all the German population to kind of acquiesce to, you know, killing Nazis and everything. So the experiments began in July 1961 in the basement of Lindsley Chittenden Hall at Yale University. That sounds made up, by the way.
It is.
3 months after the start of the trial of German Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann in Jerusalem, Milgram devised his psychological study to explain the psychology of genocide and answer the popular contemporary question, could it be that Eichmann and his million accomplices in the Holocaust were just following orders? Could we call them all accomplices? The experiment was repeated many times around the globe with fairly consistent results. That's the scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
They say today it's obviously very hard to reproduce those kind of results because it's a little bit intense, a little bit. And I don't think ethically you could. I don't know how they got away with it back then, but they got away
60 years ago.
Psychology. A lot of, you know, they had some broad boundaries, right?
I mean, just like when, women were smoking pregnant and they thought it was not mm-hmm. a big. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. things like that change and we kind of get on to the smarter.
Didn't know that was harmful.
I mean, I'm just saying it goes along with stuff like that back then, you know. I just found this fascinating that, and it said that, and they were the learner and the
experimenter was in charge of the session. The
teacher
was a volunteer for a single session. The teachers were led to believe that they were merely assisting, whereas they were actually the subjects of the experiment.
Right, where they were the learners. Were the actors. They were separated so they could communicate, but they couldn't see each other.
Yeah,
so they pretended to be the volunteer, right?
Right, and he's telling them to see how far they can push it. Like, you want to crank it up another 50 volts or whatever, and then some of them did, some of them, And it's like they had that power, and that's what I was talking about earlier. It's like,
On the surface. So the subject and the actor arrived at the session together. The experimenter told them that they were taking part in a, quote-unquote, scientific study of memory and learning, to see what the effect of punishment is on a subject's ability mm-hmm. to memorize content. Also, he always clarified that the payment for their participation in the experiment was secured regardless of the development. The subject and actor drew slips of paper to determine their roles. Unknown to the subject, both slips said teacher. The actor would always claim to have drawn the slip that read learner, thus guaranteeing that the subject would always be the teacher.
Yeah.
Tricky, tricky.
And they did a lot of this stuff back then in the 50s and 60s. A lot of these types of, you know, experiments on the mind and, you know, messing with people just to see. I think it's interesting, but it's kind of.
Yeah. They said in later experiments, they'd even make the experimenter dress in a lab coat to seem like they had more authority.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they told the participants to ensure the learner would not escape. In later variations, they said they would have the people plead for mercy and say that they had a heart condition to kind of get them to stop but they still keep going, so just to see how far somebody would go, even knowing that you were truly hurting somebody or potentially going to kill them.
Right.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, So the person in the roles of the teacher, which is the unknowing, mm-hmm. they're seeing how far they would push their authority on the learner.
By the experiment, yeah. By the
okay.
the guy that's conducting the experiment.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Because I was reading some on it, and it's saying, like, they'd give them a question and four answers, and if they're wrong, they'd get a shock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it would intensify.
But I was like, well, I thought this was to see how you responded to authority. So how does answering a question wrong?
Well, they don't.
I see what they're doing now. There's a bigger experiment on top of this mm-hmm. synopsis of what they're doing.
Correct.
For the
experiment. It's pretty diabolical.
To
what they're doing, which
I was the way I initially thought was now that I know the learner is the actor mm-hmm. that I thought that. Someone in an authoritative position would try to push the learner to do things that morally they probably wouldn't do, but because they're authoritative, they would do it to follow their direction. That's how I was looking at it. But now
it's the teacher that's the one that's
starting to get the murky water clear. I can see that the teacher is the one that they put them as authority to figure how far will they push this person.
Yeah, it'd be like me if you and I were in the experience and you were the learner and I was the teacher, and so the guy that's running this, and you answer the question wrong, all right, I bolt you or shock you 50 volts, something you can handle. Then the next one, I'd be 100. Well, at some point, I'd be like, I don't care if you got it wrong. I'm not
shocking doing
for five.
It.
Yeah, or am I
for
$4?
Or am I going to mess? Yeah. Or am I going to kind of inflict some pain and kind of get a creepy kick out of it? I mean that's what it is basically.
Seeing how far you'll push your authority.
Starting to scare me is that as you're putting this together, you're putting on this white lab coat and you're putting electrodes on me. What's this all about, Nate? Exactly. I mean, you're acting like you don't know what you're doing. But is this for after the recording? Hey, like slipping on his authority jacket.
Well, you say something I don't like, I'm hitting you.
He's over there. Is that,
is that what this chair is hooked up for? I'm wired for sound over here.
Wait a minute.
Don't mind the car battery under your seat.
Sean, I just, the episode that we recorded earlier when we had that little sound, I think there's something going on here.
We were preparing for this.
Wait a minute. I can't get these headphones off.
Sheesh. Touch your lips to the mic.
Yeah.
Do it again, monkey.
And hold water.
Shock the monkey.
Why do I need to put my finger in the water?
Oh, my gosh.
Which I think the other way I was sort of thinking about it would work, too, in a certain extent. You know, see how far you could push the learner, see if they'd follow your orders.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Again, you're scaring me.
Yeah.
You're like,
no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The learner's the one that's getting shot. So what? Say that again, though.
If the person, the unknowing participant.
The teacher. That's shocking.
Yeah.
The teacher,
if the roles were reversed, mm-hmm. and see how far you could push that unknowing learner to do what you tell them to do. And it's, well, I'm the boss. I'm the authority. I'm telling you to do this. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
And see where their breaking point is, too.
Yeah.
I think you can sort of accomplish the same thing both ways, mm-hmm. more or less.
It said they always had prods because they inevitably, unless there was some psychopath that you were like, oh, sure, I'll shock him. Yeah, I'll shock him every time. But it
how
says,
high does this thing go?
we'll just go to the highest setting right away. Like, but it was the first question. Okay, never mind. So it's,
is your
name? Death to you.
1,000 volts.
Adolf, is that you?
Yeah, seriously.
It says, if any time the teacher indicated a desire to halt the experiment, the experimenter was instructed to give specific verbal prods. The prods were in this order. Number one, please continue, or please go on. Number two, the experiment requires that you continue. Number three, if it is absolutely essential that you continue. And four, you have no other choice. You must go on. So they just got more and more intense with it.
Yeah.
It says prod
pressure. It's all about pressure.
Yeah.
Prod number two, it could only be used if prod number one was unsuccessful. If the subject still wished to stop after all four successive verbal prods, the experiment was halted. Otherwise, the experiment was halted after the subject had elicited the maximum 450 volt shock three times in succession.
Oh, wow.
That's a
lot.
Yeah, I figured you would appreciate that.
Jeez.
You work with all that kind of fun stuff, right?
Yeah, 480 is not something to play around with. You make sure that's turned off.
You're going to feel it a little bit.
You might not feel it, but you're not going to get up either.
Right.
Not anytime soon, right?
What is like a voltage that, if you know, you'd feel it, but it's not anything that's
going to... 120, you know, standard house 120. Voltage. As long as you're not getting in 220 like a stove or a dryer or something like that.
So I knew like 2.2 or 2.20. Okay.
You're like, this is a good time to say disclaimer. Don't try this at home.
Don't do it at home.
But don't. Yeah, right. Right.
Not 99% of the time you hit 120 putting a ceiling fan in or putting a new plug in and you forgot to turn the power off. It'll zap you, but you'll survive.
Right.
You'll feel it, but you know.
The lights may glow when you go by them, though.
Right? Yeah. But anything beyond that, me personally, I won't mess with. I'll make sure it's turned off.
Yeah.
Like, we had to adjust the stops on an overhead crane this week, actually, and the power rail that runs that crane is 480.
Ooh.
And it's like, that needs to be turned off before we get up there. Like, okay, we'll lock out and tag out. And it's like, we will. I'm not getting up there and touching
there's certain
that
numbers
thing.
You don't want to hear, and that's one of them. That's crazy. It says, in Milgram's first set of experiments, 65%, so 26 of the 40 experiment participants, administered the experiment's final massive 450-volt shock, and all administered shocks of at least 300 volts. Subjects were uncomfortable doing so.
And uncontrolled.
And uncontrolled. And displayed varying degrees of tension and stress. These signs included sweating, trembling, stuttering, biting their lip, groaning, digging their fingernails into their skin, and some were even having nervous laughing fits or seizures. That's crazy, right?
Turn them into the Joker.
14 out of the 40 subjects showed... Yeah, and again, they didn't tell them until months later sometimes. Yeah. 14 of the 40 subjects showed definite signs of nervous laughing or smiling. And the smiling man. Every participant paused the experiment at least once to question it. Most continued after being assured by the experimenter. Some said they would refund the money they were paid for participating. Oh, just the golden hearts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that when they did administer the electroshock, that they had a recording of... like electricity.
Yeah.
To make it, you know, real to the teacher. Right. Yeah. Well, so when they push the button, it...
Well, there's videos, too, of how uncomfortable this whole thing is. Yeah. Like, and that's what's scary, you know what I mean?
Now, luckily, the father and son, the dad wouldn't do it. He was like, I'm not
hurting my kid.
No, exactly. Yeah. I was like, okay, good. I'm glad
that's very biblical of him, right?
I'm
not going to do it.
Remember how you're a jerk earlier this week?
Yeah. Oh, you. Yeah, you didn't go to bed when I told you to. Here you go. But yeah, so at least the dad had some sense. I know. I mean, it just shows you that some people have control and have authority or have a chance to kind of be a little evil.
It goes back down to the basic level of: are we programmed to obey? Right. And would we follow the flock?
Reminds me of something.
Would we? Yeah, I know. Would we follow the flock at all costs? Yeah, I know. Historically speaking, to this day, you know, we still run across these moral dilemmas of: do we follow what we're told without a question?
Yeah,
you know, because science says so. Because this politician says so. Because this teacher says so. Because this employer says
so. Well, and we're all married, you know?
Because I wasn't gonna say wife, but because your wife says so. All right, honey, I will.
But, further getting into the experiment further, there's also with the teacher and the person conducting the experiment, there's authority there too, pushing the teacher to continue.
Right.
So I'm sure that's part of the experiment too. How? No, you must continue. Well, do they or don't they? So, I mean, that's pushing to see if they will push their authority. So it's sort of twofold.
It's interesting. I run in the...
Yeah, serious. Yeah.
This makes me think a little bit of, as a therapist in a hospital, we come in and we do evaluations with people. So it's an assessment, right? We're trying to analyze, make sure how they're doing physically, functionally.
You're shocking people.
I'm shocking people. Yeah, I'm like...
Just say it.
Sean. I'm going to stop doing my job. No, I'm kidding. No, but we go in there and most of the time people say, oh, okay, that's fine. And they let us continue without really much question. But every once in a while... Now, who wrote this order? And what's this for? And what's the difference between what are the therapies? You know, and they'll question us. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm glad people do, because I would like to think that I would say, what's this test for? Yeah, what are we doing here?
Is this
and
required?
Even as a therapist,
You
know, and there are people there. Sometimes we don't do, you know, because you charge people if you do full scale evaluations. And I want people to know that this is going to be charged to you. A lot of times it goes in along with your bill in an inpatient setting with insurances. But sometimes we're also gatekeepers for people's money. So it's like, if it's not you know, if I don't need to do a full scale evaluation and I can figure out how you're doing, what we call it is a screen. We don't charge. We still spend time with them, you know, not money. We spend time and we spend the effort with them and to try to get a little bit of critical analysis, but it's like, you don't need us. And we're not going to charge you to say that. You know what I mean?
That's ethical.
So to me, that it's kind of interesting though, but
not
people
pushing
should
your authority.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, it all comes down to ethics.
It goes,
I mean,
where,
it's all,
it, yeah, right. Yeah. Where did your authority come from? Well, the doctor. Well, I don't know the doctor from Adam.
He still likes to shock him though.
Exactly.
Everything's an
give him
experiment.
The buttons.
I'm having trouble moving this arm. Yeah. Ah, we need to shock you.
Yeah. We're gonna.
No, we're not going to shock you.
450, baby.
Shocked 800 volts. That's right.
Feel better now, Grandma?
No. I can't straighten my arm out. Oh, we'll get it straight.
Well, I won't mention the place, but like talking about the cars. I mean, you know, or our garage door opener wasn't working. One morning, I had the car warming up, and I'm like, it wouldn't go down. I'm like, what the heck? So I called our garage door guy. He's awesome in Brownsburg. Maybe he'll be a segment sponsor someday. No. Anyway. So I call him. He's been
I like how you get that in there.
Yeah. So he comes over.
Come one, come all.
Fixed it in a minute. It was something with the eye. Now, I've checked. I checked the eyes. I thought, make sure they were lined up and all that. Well, anyway, it was something with that. And he still came out from Brownsburg, a half-hour drive, 20-minute drive. Still took, you know. And I thought, I owe him something, $50, $60. And he goes, I said, thank you so much. How much owe you? Nothing. I go, really? He goes, I'm not going to charge you for that. I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. He goes, yeah, no problem. Have a great day. And I was like, wow, he really could have. Yeah, $50. No one, like, you know.
I did a service, minimum charge, $75.
Yeah,
he
right.
was like, not a big deal. He's like, not. And I'm just saying. And you know what? If he would have charged me,
that's fine.
I would have expected it. Yeah. It wasn't ripping me off. I'm just saying he just went like, no, I'm not doing it. You know?
It's so cool when you can
or
be
he could have said, it's $100.
That shows you a little bit of people's integrity and character.
Yes,
you know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. When human beings can be human, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, this does, but there's a positive side of the human nature and there's a negative side. And this is what this experiment's showing is that there is a tendency that there certainly is. Mm-hmm. There are negative forces within us, you know, that can get us to do things against our will, things that we wouldn't normally do. Now, I think it's also interesting that they say that it is flawed science as well back then because they, you know, they got a varying degree of test subjects, different educational levels, different job, you know, occupations, all that kind of stuff. But they were all male. They didn't have any female results. And they said, you know, it would have been interesting to see, would that have skewed the results if you'd put female in there?
Well, female didn't matter at that time.
It didn't matter at that time, but it's all about time.
It certainly does today.
I was going to say, it absolutely does today.
Well, yes, it does.
We endorse women.
But don't you find it interesting that they didn't put that as part of that experiment? I know.
Very true.
It's in a time, it's like all of its own, but still.
I live by the words of one comedian's song, The Man's Song. I think it's like Jim Morey or something like that.
I know what you're talking about.
Bob and Tom,
the man. Yeah,
I'm the man of the house.
I wear the pants in this relationship when you're not at home. Yeah,
like, I'm the king of the castle when she's not there.
I control the TV when she lets me.
I'll clean up the house whenever you tell me to.
I love that song. That's a great one. It is. I think it's a great. Yeah, well, you know, while you're talking about the having no women, it would be interesting to see like a male being the teacher, the woman being a learner, how would you push it to, you know, but, you know, so a man to man, like,
vice versa,
I'm going
right?
to I'm gonna back off on the woman, you know, or would a woman be easier?
Oh, she'd have no problem with doing it.
450 every time, Ray.
Are you sure this doesn't go higher?
I'm pretty sure that answer was correct. Especially, no, it was wrong.
Especially especially she's married to the guy, right? Yeah, no.
No, grass isn't green. No, yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
No, but like woman to man, and then
just
woman,
jokes,
you know,
people.
Like, yeah.
You get paid by the joke. That's why you're doing that, right?
Yeah. That would have been, that's true, though. You know what? Maybe we'll do our own Middle Asian Creeped Out Milgram experiment.
They say Milgram
for
real this time. Milgram summarized his experiment in his 1974 article, The Perils of Obedience, which sounds very ominous, writing, "The legal and philosophic aspects of obedience are enormously important, but they say very little about how most people behave in concrete situations. I set up a simple experiment at Yale University to test how much pain an ordinary citizen would inflict on another person simply because he was ordered to do so by an experimental scientist. Stark authority was pitted against the subjects or participants strongest moral imperatives against hurting others, and with the subjects or the participants' ears ringing with the screams of the victims, authority won more often than not, which is really scary. Mm-hmm. The extreme willingness of adults to go to almost any lengths to on the command of an authority constitutes the chief finding of the study and the fact most urgently demanding explanation. Ordinary people, simply doing their jobs and without any particular hostility on their part, can become agents in a terrible destructive process. Moreover, even when the destructive effects of their work becomes patently clear, they are asked to carry out actions incompatible with fundamental standards of morality. Relatively few people have the resources needed to resist authority. Again, a little scary. So that, that to me, it is a good... it's a good learning moment. You know, it's an aha moment of maybe we do. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to say, yeah, but what if?
And I'm amazed that people don't, I don't want to get into, I know, but people don't ask questions. They just, okay.
And I think that's fair. Yeah. That's a fair statement. Honestly. Yeah.
You know,
it's fair and honest.
Life is an experiment. You know, that's like saying if your boss said, I mean, if you're doing, you know, you want to move up? Hey, we need you to do this transaction or do this thing. And you can, hey, we'll give you, you'll get a company car and a boost in income and do this, but you got to do this and say it's illegal or ethically wrong. Would you do it? You know, or would you not? No, I can't do that. Or wait, and if you don't, you're going to get fired. That's the drastic measurement of what.
Well, they dangle that in front of you.
You know, and that's, you know, do you have character? Do you have ethics or do you not? I mean, it's just, so all kinds of different situations. I mean, you know, I found $8 one time at I was working at Walmart in my 3 years of hell that I still tell someday. But I was working there, and I was happy to have a full-time job at the time. I was on the floor stocking frozen goods, and I was walking, and I found eight singles just laying on the floor. I could have kept it. That was $8. Mm-hmm. I mean, $8, you know, but I'm like, and trust me, I was going from making really good money in banking to working overnights at Walmart. Kind of a big difference in money.
Mm-hmm.
I was divorced and had that second income, and I mean, every dollar meant something, you know. And $8 actually could have bought me a meal or a lunch or something. Yeah. And I turned it into the cash office. Not trying to prop myself up, but I'm like, it's not worth getting caught on film. It's somebody, you know, maybe somebody was worse off than me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that $8 is all that, you know. And so I'm like, it's not worth, I'm not doing it. I'm not. So I'm just saying, have I made mistakes and done things? Sure.
We're all ethical, human, right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, that's just like, it's not worth, you know. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, the eye in the sky, you know, the work there and the big guy. I'm not taking a chance over $8. But I mean, if it was 100, what if I found 100? I hope I would like, no, I can't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It says Milgram himself was Jewish, and his original question was whether nations other than Germany would differ in their degree of conformity to authority. So he had a reason for doing this. He assumed that the citizens of America, home of the rugged individualism and American pie, would display much lower levels of conformity when commanded by authorities to exchange in behavior that might harm others. His Yale experiments were designed to set a national baseline. Half a century after Milgram probed the nature of destructive obedience to authority, we are faced with the unsettling question, what would citizens do today?
Yeah.
This article is 2018, so this is even before, you know, what we're going through today with just the world being in upheaval and things are just every day something's changing, you know. And it is. It's like, wait a minute. Kids will ask all the time, like, what's going on here? What's going on here? I don't know. Day to day, I have no idea.
Because
culture changes, I know.
Culture, technology, you hear about things instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's like,
that's true.
There's just a lot of info every day of just stuff happening. I mean, it's just overload.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, it says, did Milgram's experiment demonstrate that humans have a universal propensity to destructive obedience or that they are merely products of their cultural moment? Interesting to think, right? Because we were talking.
I can see both.
We've talked about a lot of different topics here, and it's like, well, in that period, you can kind of see where they were thinking that way.
Yeah.
Or how would you think of it any different, you know, in those kind of historical moments?
Right.
So that's interesting too. You know, it's easy for us to sit there and say, oh my gosh, they were so stupid in the Middle Ages. Oh, they were so dumb, you know.
You got to start somewhere. And yeah, I mean, they had an idea and they sort of had a theory and they put together an experiment to try to test that theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all they knew at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, years later, you can look at it and go, oh yeah, it's flawed and this, that, and the other. But I mean, you've learned more since then.
They've done so many experiments since then. Yeah. And even ones like recently in the last couple of years. Have you ever seen those ones where they have a bunch of actors sitting in like in a, say like a circle or just a row of like chairs? And then so most of them are actors, but then there's like one or two people
that are
in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they think they're right. And so when the people stand up, they see it that for no reason, does that person that isn't in on it, do they stand, like, you know, instead of going, why are we standing, you know?
Follow the leader.
Yeah. Yeah. It's simple, same thing. Like, yeah. Or, you know, and I've seen those shows and I'm like, some of them are like, they just sit there like, what are you guys doing? You yeah. know, and then, but most people, they don't want to look goofy or yeah, stick out.
Bad. Yeah.
Oh, I better stand up too.
You don't want to be different.
No idea why. Yeah.
The whole lemmings off a cliff kind of thing, though, by now.
Yeah.
My feeling is, and my final wrap up with this is, I believe in humanity. And I think we have I think we're geared towards good. I think we're geared towards trying to help each other. Now, like I said, right now it's hard to see that, but where there's life, there's hope. And I do believe in the hope of people. But I think things like this that show our dark underbelly, again, should be teaching tools of maybe we need to try harder to be good. Maybe we need to try to help each other and help ourselves even more. That's why we're doing this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it? No, I'm kidding.
No, I just went full circle.
No, I agree.
But you know,
my old boss said that we were born. He said born evil. You know, in context, saying born evil, born because we're all born sinners. But he said we have to, as we grow up, we have to be taught to be good. Meaning, he goes, well, I mean, just look at a baby. They can't help themselves, but they're born selfish.
And it's a little vampire.
You know what I'm saying. But then you have to learn.
I hate to say that, but it's true.
If you're not taught to be respectful and to be unselfish and to mind, you know, have manners. Well, you know what I'm saying? I see what he was.
Yeah. But it comes down to your upbringing too.
Exactly. Well,
yeah. You know,
what I'm saying.
And it's same with pets too. I mean,
oh yeah.
You bring up a dog to be an attack dog. It's going to be an attack dog.
The poor pit bull is one of the sweetest of breeds, they get the crap, you know, told that, oh, they're killers and a simple little, you know, cute little doggy can tear your neck if it's taught that way, you know.
Yeah.
But a pit bull, just cause, yeah, they're just taught that way from their owner to be a vicious, yeah.
This makes
I'm glad you said that.
This
though.
Makes me think of a song by NXS. Does anybody remember NXS?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Devil Inside.
I love that song.
Devil Inside.
Every single one of us, the Devil Inside. So, there you go.
That's
you make up your own mind is what I'm saying.
Yes. I would say so. But, yeah, I like that story.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That was a good choice.
Interesting.
Really.
And Sean, you knew about it from school.
Yes.
Yeah. I learned a lot.
Look who knows so much over here, right?
Look at this guy. Hey, look at this guy.
Hey, look at
you sitting over there.
You guys.
I thought it was
teach you
one
a thing
way.
Or two, huh?
I thought it was one way, and then
shock that monkey. Shock that monkey.
Ended up being another way, and then another way on top of that.
No way.
That's that's psychology right there.
Totally.
There's levels and layers.
Yeah.
I'm all messed up. Yeah, all kinds of messed up.
You actually look at the experiment, and there's a lot to it, really.
Mm-hmm. There really is.
Even more than what he thought he was trying to get out of it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, as we kept going, I just kept, you know, seeing different aspects of the experiment. I was like, oh, okay.
Very true.
Yeah.
Well, guys, Nate, take us out of here, my man.
Ooh, this was an electrifying one. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Ooh, a little sound effects.
You like that?
Percy of Sean.
Brought to you by me.
I liked it. That was very creepy. So, Creepies, thanks for listening to Middle Age Mini number 25 on the Milgram Psychological Experiment. And
Merry Christmas, right?
Yes. Well, when would they hear this?
The 25th on Christmas Day.
Is it?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Creepness.
Merry Creepmas.
Merry Creepmas.
Creepies.
See, I can't even keep track of when things are dropped. That's your job.
That is now my job. Watch out.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening.
Timeline.
We will see you next year.
Later.
See ya.